Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You may be into punk rock, soft rock, or classic rock, R&B, hip hop, or house, country, techno, or techno country. But no matter what kind of music you listen to, here's something else you should hear. Please consider getting vaccinated. Talk to your pharmacist today about Comirnaty, COVID-19 vaccine mRNA. This message brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer.
Welcome back to the Space and Science Podcast. We're going to read a bit today about The Star Maker by Olaf Stapledon. This is a classic science fiction book from the 1930s in Britain. And it's a great book to read, both from as a story, and it's a man going on a mine travel from the meadows in England, and gradually expanding his understanding. And then towards the end of the book, so there's a bit of a spoiler alert here, he meets the creator of the universe, who is then called the Star Maker. But you're going to read a little bit from it just as an input to the more like the broad thinking about universes and creation and the cosmos we live in, and if there are other cosmoses as well, which is it's a very easy thought to get used to. If you play around with the thought for a couple of years, it suddenly becomes like a likely construct of how nature is, and maybe especially because the universe seems to be so much of an organism that is kind of, it's given birth and it grows and evolves, and it has this like one blob, one cell kind of movement to it, it might seem like so, and it's also so full of sophisticated and refined rules and kind of potentials from the beginning to create planets like the stars and planets and also life and nature on Earth as we have it. So I'm going to read a couple of excerpts here. So this is chapter 15, and it's called The Maker and His Works. You could also just note how the parallels here between being a writer and then being a star maker, as Stapledon is describing this being. So, The Maker and His Works. Number one, immature creating. According to the fantastic myth or dream, that was evoked from a mind after the supreme moment of experience, the particular cosmos which I had come to regard as myself, falls somewhere neither early nor late in this vast series of creations. It appeared to be, in some respects, the Star Maker's first mature work, but in comparison with the later creations, it was in many ways juvenile in spirit. Though the early creations expressed the nature of the Star Maker merely in his immature face, for the most part they fell in important respects aside from the direction of human thought, and therefore I cannot now recapture them. They have left me with little more than a vague sense of the multiplicity and diversity of the Star Maker's works. Nevertheless, a few humanly intelligible traces remain and must be recorded. In the crude medium of my dream, the first cosmos of all appeared as a surprisingly simple thing. The infant Star Maker, teased, as it seemed to me, by his unexpressed potency, conceived and objectified from himself two qualities. With these alone, he made his first toy cosmos, a temporal rhythm, as it were of sound and silence. So that's the first creation. From this first simple drumbeat, premonitory of a thousand creations, he developed with infantile but godlike zest a flickering tattoo, a changeful complexity of rhythm. Presently, through contemplation of his creature's simple form, he conceived the possibility of more subtle creating. Thus, the first of all creatures itself bred in its creator a need that it itself could never satisfy. Therefore, the infant Star Maker brought his first cosmos to a close. Regarding it from outside the cosmical time which it had generated, he apprehended his whole career as present, though nonetheless a flux. And when he had quietly assessed his work, he withdrew his attention from it and brooded for a second creation. So, I'm not going to say this many times, but this is very much like writing your first story or writing a poem, that you try to do it with some simple ambition, or like objective for the story or for the poem. And then once you've done it, you feel the urge to do it again, because you made it, but you also see how you might do it a little bit differently. So it's kind of a parallel going through the whole chapter. And then it keeps going. Thereafter, cosmos upon cosmos, each more rich and subtle than the last, leapt from his fervent imagination. In some of his earliest creations, he seemed to be concerned only with the physical aspect of the substance which he had objectified from himself. He was blind to its physical potentiality. In one early cosmos, however, the pattern of physical quality with which he played simulated an individuality and a life which they did not in fact possess. Or did they possess it? In a later creation, certainly, true life broke out most strangely. This was a cosmos which the Star Maker apprehended physically, much as men apprehend music. It was a rich sequence of qualities, diverse in pitch and in intensity. With this toy, the infant Star Maker played delightedly, inventing an infinite wealth of melody and counterpoint. But before he had worked out all the subtleties of pattern implied in this little world of cold mathematical music, before he had created more than a few kinds of lifeless musical creatures, it became evident that some of his creatures were manifesting traces of a life of their own, recalcitrant to the conscious purpose of the Star Maker. The themes of the music began to display modes of behavior that were not in accord with the canon which he had ordained for them. It seemed to me that he watched them with intense interest, and that they spurred him to new conceptions beyond the creature's power to fulfill. Therefore, he brought this cosmos to completion and in a novel manner. he contrived that the last state of the cosmos should lead immediately back to the first. He knotted the final event temporally to the beginning, so that the cosmical time formed an endless circlet. After considering his work from outside its proper time, he set it aside and brooded for a fresh creation. So it was kind of a long excerpt here, but it's full of interesting ideas about the nature of growth and creation and just nature. And it's interesting with the playfulness. And then you have one problem, of course, which is where does the star maker come from? Who made the star maker? Which is this loop that you get in any kind of explanation of also kind of the divinity, unless then, this is a huge sidestep, but unless you then make the effort to describe the divine concept as that which is beyond, or like the eternal, like you define it as that. But that's on the side. But the other point here is the playing with time, that this creator, this star maker, can create a cosmos, like the internal time in the little bubble of a cosmos. It's not related to the time outside of it, which is both an interesting thought, and it also ties into the relativity of time and the kind of time as a measure of change. And then it's conceivable, even if you have like a few more cosmoses, universes, that they don't operate in the same time construct or time kind of, what should we call it? Like if you see time as a distance, like it's not stretched out in the same manner. So, but again, all of this is mostly just to start thought, new ideas and thought processes. So, he keeps going it becomes very detailed here with descriptions of all the different universes. Many of them were non-spatial, but nonetheless physical. And then it becomes gradually more more complex and more rich with the substance and the structure. So, space, my dream declared, appeared first as a development of a non-spatial dimension in a musical cosmos. This is also an old thought with that the divine is music, and this is also from much of the old literature and also like medieval literature with Dante, for example, that the heavens are made more of music and harmonies as the immaterial, eternal beauty. So, and then you have little tidbits here. The followed creations with spatial characters of several dimensions, Euclidean, non-Euclidean, great diversity of geometrical and physical principles. Some creations, expansion, were followed by contraction and entirely new kinds of physical activity. And sometimes the star maker fashioned a cosmos, which was without any single objective physical nature. So here the author is just really just playing with all the different concepts that he can make, could think of. And then he goes on with the second part of the chapter, mature creating. According to the myth that my mind conceived was the supreme moment of my cosmical experience had passed. He has this giant flash right before he sees the star maker. The star maker at length entered into a state of rapt meditation in which his own nature suffered a revolutionary change. So at least I judge from the great change that now came over his creative activity. This is very interesting when it comes to the nature and the self-enforcing growth that comes out of creative activity. it's a technique you can have in your own life. If you do creative works, like every work will make you think and process and grow as a person, and then after a few of them you will go likely through a bigger change or sometimes a transformation in some parts of your kind of your psyche or some of your way of looking at things. So it's a path that is open. That's kind of, you just need pen and paper if you're writing or if you make some paintings or some songs. But it does, like there's this iteration of change and growth in the creation process in itself. Because when you then go through a transformation, you can suddenly create other things that are often richer and bigger, and that will create another sort of process going forward from that point. So it says that the cosmos, which he now created, was that which contains the readers and the writer of this book. So here suddenly he created like the connection to now. In its making, he used, but with more cunning art, many of the principles which had already served him in early creations, and he wove them together to form a subtle and more capacious unity than ever before. This is also in a little bit the book in itself, The Star Maker, as he wrote many other stories before. So this kind of this more grand masterworks, like also big composers, they end up with sometimes big symphonies where they can use all the learning they've had in their earlier works. It seemed to me in my fantasy that he approached this new enterprise in a new mood. Each early cosmos appeared to have been fashioned with conscious will to embody certain principles, physical, biological, psychological, more like the technical level of things. As has already been reported, there often appeared a conflict between his intellectual purpose and the raw nature which he had evoked for his creature out of the depth of his own obscure being. This time, however, he dealt more sensitively with the medium of his creation. The crude spiritual material, which he objectified from his own hidden depth for the formation of his new creature, was molded to his still tentative purpose with more sympathetic intelligence. With more respect for its nature and its potentiality, though with detachment from its more extravagant demands. Another sidestep here will be the potentiality concept as a very profound one. Also in the Greek philosophy with Aristotle, with the actuality and potentiality. Like if something, also in terms of being real or existence, if something exists potentially, or before something can exist in actuality, it has to exist potentially. And then you have to evaluate to which degree potentiality in itself is a form of existence. And then you stumble into this question that, can there really be nothing? Because wouldn't there always be potentiality? The potential for being. And then that will always just click into becoming. So, or as the Greeks also wonder, but or is this a way of the brain? Is this a self loop in the brain? So, but that's more the philosophical part of it. So, but more on this current creation that we are in. In the new creation, there occurred a strange kind of discrepancy between the Star Maker's own time and the time proper to the cosmos itself. Hitherto, though he could detach himself from the cosmical time with the cosmical history, when the cosmical history had completed itself and observe all the cosmical ages as present, he could not actually create the later phases of cosmos before he had created the earlier. In this new creation, he was not thus limited. And so even this cosmos was my own cosmos, continues the narrative voice here. I regarded it from a surprising angle of vision. No longer did it appear as a familiar sequence of historical events, being the initial physical explosion and advancing to the final death. I saw it now not from within the flux of the cosmical time, but quite otherwise. I watched the fashioning of the cosmos in the time proper to the Star Maker, and the sequence of the Star Maker's creative acts was very different from the sequence of historical events. So, it's quite a long chapter, The Ultimate Cosmos and the Eternal Spirit. So it becomes more spiritual towards the end as well. So, the final words here. In saying that the spirit's temper was contemplation, I imputed it to a finite human experience and an emotion, thereby comforting myself, even though with cold comfort. But in truth, the eternal spirit was ineffable. Nothing whatever could be truly said about it. Even to name it spirit was perhaps to say more than was justified. Yet to deny it that name would be no less mistaken. For whatever it was more not less than spirit, more not less than any possibly human meaning of that word. And from the human level, even from the level of a cosmical mind, this more obscurely and agonizingly glimpsed was a dread mystery, compelling adoration. So that's the end of the chapter. There's a couple of things with the ending here, which is, and like the epilogue is coming back to Earth again, but there's a thing with many philosophers or science fiction writers or theologians end up with a sense of like something eternal, like an eternal spirit or eternal divinity of some sort that is not possible, which is a mystery. It's not possible to grasp it with the human intellect. It's also something that you just have to strive towards understanding better. But it often ends up with a little bit the same kind of feeling to it, which might be, again, perhaps just the brain revealing to itself how it's working, and that you reach this point, which is maybe closer to where your consciousness emerged and kind of spurred up from for the first time when you were a little, like in the womb as a little growing fetus infant, and that point of waking up as an existence or a consciousness might be a starting point that you kind of move towards. Or maybe that's just one of many things around this. Anyways, that's now we're gliding into much like other areas than just science. But it's part of the larger way of thinking, and also using maybe, this is partly an experiment with these episodes to try to use other modes of thinking. From also philosophy or theology or more storytelling on the science, kind of the challenges or the complexities, in addition to the kind of very precise analytical, detailed scientific left hemisphere thinking. So we're going to end it there, around 20 minutes. For anyone who made it so far, thank you so much for listening. And you could all send me voice messages here on anchor.fm/thesciencepodcast. I will also put up an email contact info shortly. So just to wrap it up, hope this was some interesting thoughts, some new ideas, and hope you enjoyed some of it. And as always, thank you so much for listening. And talk to you again soon.
We travel to see what's around the bend and what we're capable of. And now Capital One's new class of travel card can keep up with you. Introducing Venture X from Capital One. With 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy. Venture X, for those always asking, where next? Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.